Well, I appreciate those kind words, as usual. Pastor's always very gracious in an introduction. Gives you a lot more credit than you deserve, and makes you sound even better than you probably are. And thank you for that. But tonight, I want to talk about, everybody here is going through something at one time or another. And sometimes we're just going through something all the time, right? And so tonight I'm going to talk about from trial to faith. And if you would, just bow your head one more time. I'll say a word of prayer before we get started. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for everything, Lord God. I pray you just enter this service tonight, Lord Jesus. Give me the words, Lord Jesus, that you want to speak, Lord God. Touch the hearts of these people, their minds, their souls, their bodies. Strengthen them physically and spiritually in your precious name, Lord Jesus. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. So, obviously, we're all going through trials. I looked up, you're kind of curious. You know what a word means, but I looked that up. And it says a test of performance. So that's what trial is. It's a test of performance. How many of you feel like you're going through a test of performance? And how well do you think you're performing? I got to be honest with you. I don't think I'm at the top of my game. I just not there. And, but that's why we're here, right? That's why we're here on a Wednesday night. We're trying to learn and move forward and grow in a relationship with the Lord to where we can figure out how to be better, right? How to get through these trials easier, and how to pass the test and do it with some performance. So 1 Peter 4, 12 through 16. These are obviously scriptures that, we all have read, and pastors taught on them several times. I'm going to lead into something here a little bit later here. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in so much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering. So I'm going to stop right there for a second. We are partakers of Christ's suffering. Well, what was Christ's suffering? We're obviously coming into Easter. We know that, what all did he do for us? Where do we start, right? He took stripes for us. He was so beaten so badly, he was unrecognizable. They said his face was unrecognizable. And, what kind of suffering is that? I've never been beaten unrecognizable. It's so easy to for us to just walk around and say, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. But yet I've never been beaten unrecognizable. And I'm trying to say I'm the body of Christ. So we have to be partakers of his suffering, right? We have to go through things. We have to be beaten. We have to be abused. We have to be verbally abused, physically abused. When his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. And their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. So, In that saying right there, obviously it says that they will be evil spoken of. Well, that's anything or anyone that comes against you through your trial, right? They're going to be evil spoken of. But it says that we are glorified. Amen. We're going to be lifted up. We're going to be brought through. We're going to be brought through better. So Christ, in his suffering, he had to go through what? The beatings, the cross. But he also had to go through, the garden, the leading up to it. He had to feel that pressure and know exactly what was coming his way and still be able to try to be glorified through it. And he had to give us the ultimate example and show us how to get through the trial, right? He showed us that He prayed so hard that he sweat blood. He sweat blood for us. But he also sweat blood for our example. He sweat blood to show us that sometimes you have to pray this hard to get through a trial. And he gave us the ultimate example. I mean, he through all these things. So he also had to be tempted by the devil for 40 days, right? Now, how would that be? No food, no drinks, just this thing in your ear every day, all hours of the day. Think about it, really. I mean, you know, we have, you know, people that come our way that give us little tidbits throughout the day, but they're not there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 40 days, right? And you have to come out of the other side of that victorious and glorious and glorified. Now, how do you do that? How do you do that? How did he do that? Well, he stayed focused on the Lord, right? He stayed focused on prayer. And so we're going to move on here. It says, let's go to Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, for what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowl of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in their barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? So, sorry, let me turn here. So, if you think about this, think about if you're talking about just birds here. Well, how do birds get food? I mean, how do they know where to go? You know, it's amazing. They don't worry about it, right? They don't worry about it because most of the time, a lot of you are putting bird feed out for them, right? Now, let me ask you a question. When you put out a hummingbird feeder for the first time, how does it find it? I mean, how does it find it? Right. Is it by accident? I mean, is it senses? I mean, what is it? Obviously, the Lord leads them to what they need, right? They don't know that you just put up a hummingbird feeder an hour before that. But yet, sometimes, the very day you put it up, there they are. It's never been there before. Yet, here comes a hummingbird. And the next thing you know, there's another one. And then another one. How do they know that? It's because our Heavenly Father and their Heavenly Father leads them there. He shows them. He puts this desire in them to be able to listen to them. He has dominion and authority over them that they allow him to have. Do we have that? Are we allowing him to have dominion and authority over us to show us and lead us where we need to go, to show us where our food is, where our drinks are, you know, where anything is in our life, where our next job is? I mean, what are we allowing him dominion over that? Are we allowing him to do that? Are we allowing him to show us where our hummingbird feeder is? So let's go on here. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto this his stature? And why take ye thought for the raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. They grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Pretty sure he was talking to me there. So, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need for all these things. So he knows we have need for it. Did we pray for that? Did we, what did we fast for that? No, he already promised it to us, right? If we allow him in our life, we allow him to have dominion and authority over us, he is just going to give us that. Yeah. He's just going to give it to us. If we have the faith that he's going to, it will be there. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So let's go to Romans 14, 22 and 23. Sorry, I'm taking a moment here. I'm flipping my Bible. It's one of them things with paper in it. I just started using it when we did media fast. I was one of those skeptics that just carried my phone every time. And when a certain evangelist would come along, I'd be like, oh, nah, I just bring my phone, you know. Even though he was like, oh, you need your Bible. You should bring your Bible. Oh, I got my Bible. It's right here. And then we fasted media, and I got my Bible back out because I'm not allowed to look at my phone. And so I started looking in the Bible and reading my Bible, and man, the headings and all that, stuff that's not in your phone. You know, you would look ahead and see what the heading was of the next chapter. And man, I was like, wow, that's kind of neat. What's that? What's that all about? You know, it's like one of them thumbnails on YouTube. You know, it catches your eye. You're like, what's that? You know, what does that mean? What are they talking about there? So yeah, I caught myself reading further because of the headings and titles at the tops of the chapters. So I guess thank you, Lord, and thank you, Brother Easter, for you know, getting my Bible back out, I guess. But it has been very, very good for me, and the Lord has blessed me through it. And like I said, has given me a new desire for it. So hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that contemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So, that's interesting, right? Whatever is not faith is sin. So we're going to get back into that here in just a little bit. So let's go to Hebrews 11. This is a lot of reading. I'm not sure I'm going to read it all, but I want to, you know, you guys will get the idea pretty fast. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained good report. Through faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, and that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testify of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into the place which he should Let's start over on that. My glasses must be severely smeared because all I see is light glare. By faith, Abraham, he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. So it goes on and on and on in this chapter, and it pretty much covers every person in the Bible, and it starts out every single heading of this by faith. By faith. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Moses. By faith, Noah. By faith, Joseph. It goes on and on. And so, obviously, these people had to have a little bit of faith, right? But why did it start out this way? Well, they all had trials, right? They all had to go through things. We know that Abraham had to go through many things. Moses had to go through a lot of things and faced a lot of demons of his past and a lot of things that was very uncomfortable to him. And he was not an eloquent speaker, so he didn't want to speak in front of people. Neither am I. I'm butchering up the reading. But here I am, right? It's one of those things where you have to step out in faith and know that the Lord's going to take over and know that the Lord's going to handle the situation. And that's what these people did. Jesus was our ultimate example by the beatings and stuff that he took and how the extreme that he had to go to show us exactly what the formula was to be able to live in faith. And that faith, and he proved that that faith can be real. And that faith does exist, and it lives, and it breathes, and it's in us, and it can come through us. So let's go to Romans 10:17. So here's another way we have to receive faith. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, what does this mean? So hearing, let's see what hearing is. Hearing is the ability to perceive sound through an organ, such as an ear, by detecting vibrations. Well, obviously, the word, how does the word work in our life? If we have to hear the word, we're obviously hearing it through what? Preaching, teaching, we can hear it through song. You can hear it many different ways, right? Bible studies, you can hear it through apps, radio, whatever you want to listen to. But it also is a vibration, right? It moves, it lives, it breathes, it shakes us. How does it shake us? Well, when we're doing something wrong and we're reading the word, it's going to shake you a little bit, right? You're going to realize that, man, I knew that was wrong, but I didn't realize how wrong that really was. And that shakes you, right? That shakes you from the inside out. It causes you to be uncomfortable. It causes you to be stirred. It causes you to question where you are and what you're doing. It causes vibration in your life, right? So, hearing by the word of God, it vibrates us. It gives us movement. It shakes us. It helps us to rev ourselves up. You know, it's such a gift. You know, it is such a gift to have an instruction manual, to know that if you're going through something, all you have to do is open this right here. You just open it, and there it is. Every single time. And there's nothing like when you open the word and you're going through something and you hear it, but you hear it from the Lord. And the Lord speaks right to you, right to your heart, right to your mind, your soul, right where you are. And that is a precious, precious thing. So let's go to Romans 14:23 again. So I read you this a little while ago. It says, "For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." So What do we get out of that? It means that, you know, if you're going through this trial, you know, we just heard another person diagnosed with cancer tonight, right, in the prayer request. And there's so many of us in this place that have had that happen to us, either through family or yourself or whatever. And it could be, you know, it could be any trial you're going through. But I'm just saying, you know, we do know a lot of people that are struggling with cancer or sickness right now. Sister Marie Spirite is, you know, in the hospital, and she's going through something right now. Now, we can take this thing that we're going through, and we can get upset about it. We can think it's a death sentence, that we're done, we're finished. You know, we can go around talking about it, and woe is me, and feel sorry for ourselves, and think that there's no hope. You know, and when we're doing that, what does it become? It says here, whatsoever is not faith is what? Sin. So if we're not believing that the Lord can fix our situation or our trial, then what are we doing? We're sinning, right? And that seems a little harsh, right? Because you would think that if you're going through something, there would be a little bit of sympathy. You know, you want somebody to feel sorry for you, at least for a minute, you know, especially if it's your wife or something, you know, because I like to have my wife feel sorry for me every once in a while. It makes you feel good, you know, that you're not, you don't feel completely alone there, you know, but, you know, it's one of those things where you really don't think of that as sin, right? You don't think feeling sorry for yourself is sin. You don't think that that trial that you're going through, that if you're not lifting it completely up in faith, is sin. And that verse really struck me. It really did, because I think there's times and situations that I've went through things, and even went through what Pastor was talking about. Actually, that's first week of April here will be the anniversary of that. So it's getting close. I try not to think about it because I don't want it to become sin. I want to think of it in faith. I know what the Lord brought me from. I know what He brought me out of. I know, like Pastor said, He preserved my life. And He's been so good to me. And, you know, I feel such a sweet, quiet, calm spirit here tonight. And I'm thankful for that. It is such a blessing to be able to stand up here and humbly be able to give you guys a word. And I don't think it's a huge, huge life-changing word. But you know what? It's a word from the Lord. And if the Lord's saying it, then it must be important. And you know, don't let your lack of faith become sin. And it can be, because we get so down on ourselves, we get so down on our situation, we allow it to overtake us, we allow it to run our lives, we allow our jobs to run our lives, we allow relationships to run our lives, we allow people that we don't even know run our lives. And you know, we can either make that into faith and build our relationship with the Lord and grow stronger in Him, or we can allow it to become sin, just like it says right here in Romans. And you know, we have to get to the point to where we say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I believe that's kind of where we are as a country. I think that's where we are as a church, and as a nation as a whole. And you know, if you guys don't mind, I just want to take a second here and just say another word of prayer, and just allow this sweet spirit to come in. And you know, if some of you want, you can come up to the front. But I think I just want to take a second here and just give the Lord a little bit of praise. And give him a little bit of time, because I think we need to turn everything we're going through right now into some faith. Because I think there's so many of us that are just so overwhelmed and so wore down, and we're tired, and we need some faith tonight. We need some uplifting. We need some encouragement, and we need some love for the Lord. Lord Jesus, I pray you just come into this place, Lord God. I pray you bless in your spirit tonight, Lord God. Touch us with your faith, Lord God. Help our faith to not be, our lack of faith to not become sin, Lord Jesus. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. 'Cause your goodness is running after, it's running after me. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything.
Your goodness is running after. It's running after me.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God. Be with us, Lord Jesus. Cover us, Lord God. Build our faith. Encourage us, Lord Jesus. Bind us ever closer to you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name.